The Holy Gospel is written in the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, beginning at verse 5. Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when the Spirit of truth comes. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Okay, well, keep the Colossians passage open in front of you because I want to speak to that. The question I want to ask us to think about today is what's going on in baptism, what is happening, what are we demonstrating or enacting or embodying or living out? What's going on when people get into this pool, go down the steps and then get wet from head to toe and then come out of it the other side? What's going on when we trickle water over a child's head? What is this act about? I want to suggest it's many things, but it's two things today, and perhaps really I'm focusing on one of them. But it's an emptying and a filling, first of all. It's an emptying, and then it's a filling, and it's secondly a dying and then a living. The truth is that we come to God empty. We may, in fact, be full of all kinds of things. Our minds might be full of all kinds of things. But we recognize that to God and to ourselves, these things leave us feeling empty. We may be full of activity and passion before we come to God. We may be the most energetic, lively person around. And yet when it comes to God, we realize that all those things were nothing because we somehow feel empty. We may be full of desires and longings. We may be full of worries and concerns. They often go together, the desires and longings and the worries and concerns. Are you with me on that? You know how sometimes they're the flip side of each other? A worry is a longing that hasn't been fulfilled or may not be fulfilled. Does that make sense to you? You have a desire for something and then you worry that it might not happen. So desires and longings fill up our mind. Do you remember the parable of the sower a few weeks back? Jesus said that there is one group of soil, one group of people whose hearts are full of longings and desires, and they're also full of worries and anxieties. And they're so full, they're like thorny ground. So we may be full of these things. We may be full of doubts and fears. I don't know whether any of us have had that experience where suddenly you just feel full of doubt or full of fear about the future, almost like a shroud that covers us and we lose all confidence. But no matter what we are full of, When we come to God and first put our trust in him, we come to him empty, knowing that only he can fill the deep and wonderful voids in our lives. I don't know, can you remember the deep longing that you had before you came to God that was then filled by God? Some of us have a deep longing for beauty. We ache for it. We need it. Others are deep longing for justice. Things are wrong and they need to be righted. We have this passion in us. Others are deep longing for love. Can you remember that? Still got it? This deep longing for love, for affection, for people's attention, for appreciation, for being noticed. These things, these drives in us, throw us into all kinds of activity. If you're into justice and you have this deep longing for things to be right, you often get thrown into an activity around fighting for justice, don't you? You're kind of marching or campaigning or writing letters or getting your friends around or arguing with people who aren't getting things sorted or writing letters to the local magazine or telling your, you know what I mean? People, you know the people who are angry and frustrated, and they have a longing. This anger and frustration comes from a longing for justice, for things that are wrong to be righted. Others who have a longing for beauty throw themselves into looking for it at all costs. They can often be creative. They can often be people who are hungry for the next beautiful thing. One beautiful meal followed by another beautiful meal, or one beautiful view followed by another beautiful view. One beautiful woman followed by another beautiful woman. People can be filled with a longing for beauty, or they can be empty looking for love. Many of us, and myself included, love to be loved. We like to be noticed and told that we're doing okay. In fact, we like to be told that we're doing more than okay. We like to be told we're doing well. Often when I do Thanksgivings, last few Thanksgivings, I've noticed that I've had boys. I've had predominantly all boys. And one of the things I've been saying to the parents is that boys are somehow a bit different from girls in that they are suckers for praise. Boys, if you praise a boy, they will grow physically in front of you. You can almost see them. It's like pumping them up with a kind of bicycle pump. You tell a boy that he's good at something, he'll go, "Really? Am I?" He'll kind of grow in stature, and you can see him kind of growing in front of you almost. Now, unfortunately, there's a period in a boy's life where to start with. I wonder if someone could just help this guy come in. That'd be great. Thanks, Dave. That's super. To start with, when in a boy's life, they get lots of praise. "Oh, you're doing so well. Well done. That's fantastic. Look how creative he is. Look how interested he is in all of life. Look how he's playing with the toast inside the video machine. Look how creative he is with his paints and how he wants to explore the texture of the walls at the same time. And we think how great it is." You see how, you know what boys are like? You know, "Look how he climbs trees." And then there's a bit when you suddenly stop praising them for being so brilliant and you start criticizing them, telling them off about how bad things are and careful and don't do this and don't do that. So a boy's life is often made of two halves, and we're not quite sure where it comes from. Sometimes... That's brilliant, Dave. That's great. It's great to see you. Yeah, he's crossing himself. That's great. Anyone know his name, actually? No, not yet. A boy's life, somewhere along the line, we stop getting praise. I don't know, I'm talking to the boys amongst us. Colin? Dave, can you remember when it stopped? When suddenly people started saying, "No, not so good about that. Are you going to get in the home? Are you going to be in at home on time? Are you doing that right? Are you dressed tidily enough? Can you tuck your shirt in?" Everyone picks you up on the things you're not doing. Now, the wise among us will continue to praise the men. And as you praise a man, he will suddenly grow in stature. Really? You think I'm good at washing up? Well, thank you. I'll do some more washing up then in that case. You think I'm good at playing the organ? Right. Well, in that case, I will play the organ for hours upon hours. You think I'm good at gardening? Right. In that case, I will dig for England. You think I'm good at driving? Well, I always thought I was really good at driving. Yeah, quite good at driving me, looking in the mirror. Yeah, that's me. If you praise a man, they will continue to do the thing you want them to do. If you criticize them, they will stop doing it. They'll give up. But that wasn't really my main point. My main point was really that we are longing to be loved and noticed. There's an emptiness in us that is longing to be filled. Emptiness is not a bad thing, necessarily. An empty glass is ready for some good wine. An empty flower bed is ready for some beautiful flowers. An empty plate is ready for some delicious food. An empty week is ready for a wonderful holiday. An empty person is ready for the Spirit of God to fill them. Emptiness is not always bad, but emptiness is the first step. We come to God empty. And of course, it's possible to be full of the wrong things, is it not? A diesel car can be filled with unleaded petrol, but it's not good for it. A house can be full of noise and music and TV, but it's not always a good thing. A car can be full of stuff, but sometimes it is rubbish that needs to be taken to the dump. A heart can be full of ambitions, but these can sometimes lead to despair. A life can be full of activities, but these can sometimes just be a distraction from the real longing, needing, feeding underneath. We come to God empty, and God is full, and we come to Him empty, ready to admit our need for Him, ready to admit that He is the only one who can fill our lives, because everything else is chasing after the wind. So we come ready to be filled with something. These are our human longings. Now, did you notice in Colossians 1, the word fill? Did anyone see it? Anyone see it on the page? Colossians 1, the first reading. Can you see fill in there? You what? Verse 9, for this reason, since the day, thank you, Joy, well done, eagle-eyed Joy, we heard about you. We have not stopped praying for you and asked God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom. I actually think the first half of the passage 2 is about being full of something. Verse 5, the faith and love that spring from the hope. Faith, love, and hope. I think we need to be filled with faith and confidence. Have you ever met someone who's full of faith and full of confidence? They're not arrogant, but they are full of faith. They are not pushed around. They're full of faith. And they're very attractive people. They're self-confident. They're comfortable in themselves. They're not boastful or cocky, but they are self-assured and they're very attractive. Have you ever met someone who's full of love and they just kind of ooze it? It kind of just gives, they give it away. Or anyone who is full of hope, being around them makes you feel better about the future. They're not one of those that just paper over the cracks. Like kind of, oh, it will get better anyway, don't worry about that, push it aside, kind of let's just paper over the cracks. But they are somehow, in the midst of darkness, they are full of hope. Some politicians bring hope, others seem to just sow fear. Some people bring hope, others fear. Yeah, you with me? Okay. Faith, hope, and love are things we need to be filled with. Dan and Louise are coming. Now, Dan and Louise have been sitting on the back over there. You know how you do that when you start off in church life. start off in the corners and gradually you work your way forward. Isn't that right? You end up right at the front, in the middle. Dan and Louise have only just started coming. I guess they started coming just after Christmas, maybe in the new year. And they were walking past the church. They've got a young boy, Toby, who is a delight. He's a completely beautiful, lovely, cheerful, very, very gifted boy, really. He's very intelligent, seemingly. Very inquisitive, very articulate. And Dan and Louise have brought him along. And I wonder whether, they haven't told me this, but I wonder whether they started coming along because of him, thinking about his life. Louise is about 21, Dan's about 24 or something like that. And they're students at Newton St. Lowe up the road. And they're drama students. And very quickly, when we met them, Gavin invited them to get involved with the project that we were trying to sort out, this idea of doing a creative arts space called the Rec House. You know how we've tried to create some new life in church rooms and galvanize a group of people together who are interested in doing some kind of art. And initially that started off with some music thing. Do you remember how I was talking about doing a recording studio and there was someone here who was going to come and help us do that? Well, we applied for lots of funding and we weren't able to do that in the end. And so that kind of idea drifted. But the idea of doing something around art and music and creativity is very strong. So we've moved from just narrowing it down to music to we've expanded it and opened it up to the whole range of different artistic expressions. So Sam is doing her dance. And Dan and Louise, we said, well, what, Dan and Louise, we're trying to do this art thing. How about you coming to do a session with some kids? How about you running a drama group with some kids because they're into drama? How about you teaching some kids that? Getting involved. And they said, yeah, that'd be great. We'd love to do that. We hadn't asked them about their faith or asked them about where they stood with Jesus or anything. We just said, would you like to get involved with us? Yeah, that'd be great, they said. So they've started getting involved with us. And it's really through being involved in the mission that they've become to the point where they want to get baptized, which is really interesting, isn't it? Normally, you start getting baptized and then eventually you get involved in mission. Normally you get baptized and then at the end of the road you might become a disciple. I think they've become disciples and they've got involved in mission and now they're getting baptized, which is interesting. It's the other way around for them. And I think increasingly it's going to be like that for people. As we include them in to what's going on, they become disciples of Jesus. The same thing happened to Dave. Do you remember Dave's story? He was helping out at Rose Cottage one day and someone said, oh, I hear you're getting baptized. I think it was Joy, wasn't it? I hear you're getting baptized on Sunday. And Dave said, am I? And Joy said, yeah, that's what I've heard. He said, oh, well, I better do that then, hadn't I? What happened was Dave was already part of us, wasn't he? He was already part of the family, making a difference, being involved. And then he wanted to display his faith that was growing in him. Same with Dan and Louise. They're beginning to explore what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And they're learning through being involved in something. One of the things that we're going to be doing more and more and more of over the coming years is being involved, inviting people to be involved with us in mission. Because then they will become Christians and followers of Jesus. So I wrote them a letter, and hopefully if you've got a few minutes, I'll read out my letter. It's based on the passage. You'll see the resonances. Dear Dan and Louise, from Richard, a normal guy captured by God to support and encourage people and groups and churches in their walk with God and with Jesus and with the Spirit, making it real and helping them on their way. To wonderful Dan and Louise, not only creative and energetic and passionate, but also now holy and set apart and chosen by God for a wonderful purpose. Grace and peace to you. Grace because it's all about love, and peace because it's all about shalom, wholeness and fulfillment. Can you see how I'm following the passage? You know, Dan and Louise, every time I think of you or mention you to others or your names crop up in conversation, I thank God for you, thanking the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ in my prayers because of what I see in you, your faith in Christ Jesus, and the love you have for all kinds of people. I know that neither of you would say that you have life licked or that you've got it all sorted, but it seems to me that ever since you started this journey of adventure and faith, exploring who Jesus was and what he said and what he wants for our world, things have been good for you. I love the way that you have grown in confidence in your faith, so much so that you want to be baptized, and even by full immersion. I love it when I talk with you about God, and he seems fresh and near and real. I love it when I hear you talk about ideas you have for the rec house, and I can see how much love you have for others. Faith and love are gifts from God, and they spring from having a hope in God, an assurance that one day all things will be well when God finally comes to rid the world and our lives of all the tears and rubbish and violence that we see and experience every day. And he comes to establish his rule on the earth as it is in heaven, a world at peace with God and with each other and with ourselves. And of course, this is what he does through Jesus, who gave his life for us and rose again from the dead, proving that God is into resurrection and not death. That God will rescue the world from pain and sadness once and for all. And this is the great news that you've heard about, a story about Jesus, a Jew who talked non-stop about the kingdom of God and showed how close it was to us all by healing and forgiving and restoring people, loving the poor, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind. A story about how this man lived and then was cut down and killed. But, and this is the best part, even death could not hold him down, and he rose to life again through the power of the breath of God in him, the Spirit of God at work in him, breaking free from hell and pain and death, and rising again for everyone to see and feel and touch once again. It's an incredible story, isn't it? And even today, all over the world, this gospel, this good news, this story bears even more fruit and grows as people hear it and believe it and trust it in their core and give their lives to it and begin to walk with Jesus themselves, inviting the Spirit of God to dwell within them. This is what you are doing, Dan and Louise, or how I would put it, even if you didn't know exactly what it was. You are beginning to understand God's love for you and for others. You learned it from Gavrin, not Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf. He loved telling you about it all, and then also loved telling us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day I first met you and heard about you, I've not stopped praying for you. But this is important, and I want you to know what I pray for. I ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I want you to know his guidance, his wonderful guiding hand in your lives. I want you to know deep in your hearts just how much he loves you, and for you to completely trust him all the time. He only wants the best for you. So relax into him and trust him with your whole life, your whole family, your worries, wonderful Toby, your money, your relationships, your past, your future, your present. You see, if only you could get all this and really know God's will for you, then so much life would result, not only for you, but for others. You will be alive, fully alive, peaceful, content, purposeful, confident, relaxed. And so I pray this in order that you may live life well. Be fully alive, wake up and be bold. For what matters is living life well. Lives that are worthy of the Lord and pleasing to him in every way. And when you do this, the natural thing will be other people's blessing. You will make a difference with your lives, and so many others will be encouraged and enlivened too. Young people and older people, just watch. How could it be any different? And as you live this way, close to Jesus, you will feel connected with God even more so, growing in your knowledge of God. And you will feel strong, as if God lives in you and nothing is too hard for you. Even when bad things come, even when illnesses come your way or tragedy hits you, or when people misunderstand you or hurt you, you'll be strong enough to cope and stand tall. Why? Because God lives in you and you stand on Him and in Him. So no matter what comes your way, nothing will get you down and crush you. You will endure all things as you wait for God to help you. And of course, you will be happy and joyful, and you will give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. You are already qualified. You have already passed. The exam has already been sorted out, and you've been given top marks. For Jesus has rescued you from the dominion of darkness and brought you into the kingdom of God. You have already been forgiven, already been washed, already been restored, already been brought back home. Oh, and there's one more thing. I pray that you would be full instead of empty, full of God's breath, God's spirit. In the Bible, the word of God's breath, word for God's breath is spirit, and the word for spirit is breath. It's a good word to use, for the breath of God is what we need each day, in, out, giving us life. And God's Spirit is not just any ordinary kind of breath. It's a wonderful, powerful, life-changing thing. It is a filling thing and a life-giving thing. It's the difference between life and death. If there is no wind, the organ will not play. There is no breath in us, we are dead. When the breath of God fills your heart, you are empowered in ways you could only have dreamed of. When we are baptized in the Spirit, immersed in the Spirit, everything changes. Jesus told us that it was better for him to go just so that he could send his Spirit, his breath, to us. Having the Spirit in us is better than having Jesus in front of us. Everything that Jesus had, he will give us through the Spirit that lives in us. That's why we don't just look for baptism in water, but we invite people to be baptized in the Spirit. One is something we do for each other. The other is something that only God can do. And this is what I am praying for you today, that on your baptism day, that God will baptize all of you in his Spirit, in his breath, guide you into all truth, and equip you for every good work that he has in store for you to do. May God bless you and Toby this day and forever. Amen. Now, I don't know if that's what was spoken over you at your baptism, but that's what baptism is about. Empty and then filled. And I guess because we leak, it's good to keep getting filled up. So what I'd like to invite you to do as we turn to prayer now is to breathe slowly. And each time you breathe in, just become aware of your breath. Don't rush it. But each time you breathe in God's Spirit. Say, breath of God, come and breathe your life into me today. Come and fill me with faith. Come and fill me with love. Come and meet my longings. Breath of God, Spirit of God, come and fall upon us all now and fill us with your life. Breathe life into us. Breathe love into us.